because in quantum mechanics, all the operators are self-adjoint and everything is okay. Usually, you know, you tend to forget, that's all. Forget. Usually people forget.
No, to say the truth, I just stated a fact, so I did not...
Good, good. No, no, but you looked at me.
No, no, I just looked at you, just good. I was wondering if there is a single piece of...
The exception, yes.
By the way, you may test other.
Yeah, you are right.
My statistics is 99% don't know it. Even excellent physicists, okay, which are very well educated mathematically. It's not an insult. I'm just telling it's lack of knowledge of some elementary linear algebra. And I faced it many times. This is very important for me. Because if I explain something, they fail to understand.
Oh, yes.
Our next speaker is Andrei Turek from Prague, talking about what's clearly written there.
Thank you. At first, I would like to thank to the organizers to allow me to speak here in the workshop. And at the beginning, I would like to say also that the work that I will speak about is based on a diploma. My diploma thesis that was done under the supervision of Professor Pavel Exner, and that's why this, in fact, a joint work. The talk will be organized as follows. At first, I will define basic terms, for example, quantum graph and so on, and I will speak a little bit about boundary conditions, despite that almost everybody of you surely know quite everything about it. And finally, I will demonstrate, I will show you two important examples. I will speak about delta coupling, and I will also define strongly singular coupling. In the second part of the talk, I will speak about the main topic, and I mean about approximations of strongly singular couplings. At first, I will show two basic approaches to the approximation. Then I will show in detail the first one, and finally the second one. So as I have promised, I will start with basic terms. By graph, I mean an ordered pair of a set of vertices and a set of edges. And also, the set of edges can be identified with the subset of two subsets of. Well, I hope that it is understandable what is written. And by the term degree of a vertex, we mean the number of outgoing edges, and also it is possible to consider a number of ingoing edges, but now it doesn't matter because we consider undirected graphs. We say that gamma is a metric graph if there is a map from the set E to the set of positive numbers, and the result of a map we call the length of the edge. As you know, the wave function of a free spinless particle confined to a graph having n edges is defined as a vector of n functions. And the corresponding Hilbert space is given by this direct sum. The Hamiltonian acts as a minus second derivative and is defined, of course, not only by its acting, but also by its boundary conditions. And I will speak in more detail about boundary conditions in a moment. Now we are able to define quantum graph as an ordered pair of a metric graph and a Hamiltonian on that graph. Now I would like to present a very important example, and it is a star graph. A star graph is a graph having at least three edges and n plus one vertices, where one edge is of the degree n, and all other edges or other vertices are of degree one. The edges are also called sometimes arms, can be finite or infinite, and the vertex of degree n is the center of the graph. Let me note that it is a special type of a graph called tree. To define boundary conditions, we need at first to know what boundary values are. The boundary values of a wave function in the vertex of the degree n are two vectors. The first vector is a vector of limits of values of the functions, and the second boundary values are the limits of the first derivative in the vertex. Note that we consider the edge or the derivatives in the outgoing sense from the edge. The boundary conditions are defined as this by this relation, and A and B are fixed matrices from C and N. Necessary condition is that the Hamiltonian defined by these boundary conditions has to be self-adjoint, and the question is how to ensure the self-adjointness. So there's a criterion that you know, and it is the criterion of Kostrikin and Schrader from 1999, and the criterion says that the Hamiltonian is self-adjoint if the rank of the two matrices A and B put next to them is equal to n, and the matrix A times B be adjoint is self-adjoint. Let's mention that condition is not unique, and we simply may consider any regular matrix C and put it to the left, or multiply the equation from the left, and we obtain another on the first side different condition, but it is in fact just the same. But there is a unique form of these conditions. And it is a version of Harman, Kostrikin and Schrader from 2000, and it has the following form, and the boundary conditions are parameterized by the unitary unitary matrix U. Since the group of unitary matrices has n squared real parameters, the family of admissible vertex couplings has n squared parameters as well. And let make a remark that self-adjointness of the Hamiltonian is equivalent to the probability current conservation. Now I will show the promised two examples, delta interaction and delta coupling. They are the most common type of point interactions, and they are characterized by the continuity of a wave function. So, delta interaction, as I have said, it is continuity in the vertex. Now we are on the line. Delta interaction, when we speak about interaction, it is the line is meant. So this is the condition of continuity, and the second condition is in fact a result of the self-adjointness. It looks like, and the number alpha that stands here is a real parameter, and it is called the parameter of the interaction, of sometimes called also strength. And when we consider a vertex with more than two edges outgoing, more than two outgoing edges, we speak about not about delta interaction, but about delta coupling. There is only a difference in terminology, not more. And you see again, there is the condition of continuity, and there is the second, which is very similar to this one. I only would like to say that this minus becomes, in this case, plus, because now we consider the derivatives in the outgoing sense. In comparison to this case, when the derivative are considered in the normal sense, let's say that I hope that this is fine.
Could I ask you? Mm-hmm. Could you speak up a little bit? Could you speak a little bit louder?
Louder? Yes, it's possible. So, and why?
His microphone is not on.
I hope that microphone is on. Maybe it is. Yeah, I think yes. Maybe it's not a question for me, but I think that it is on. The light is okay. Red, so I hope it's on. So the reason that I was speaking about delta interaction and delta coupling is the following: that two couplings can be approximated by regular potentials. I mean this. When we consider a L1 function with integral alpha, and we consider a family of this function, this is just R scaling. we scale them, like this demonstrated here in the figure. And Professor Exner has found, has proved in 1996 that then the Hamiltonian of a system with, I should explain the term, the notion. Well, it is a Hamiltonian of a system of a particle on a line with this potential, with potential W epsilon, this given by this formula. And he says, this Hamiltonian goes to the Hamiltonian of a particle on a line with delta interaction in this point, since as epsilon goes to zero, in the norm resolvent sense. And a similar consideration can be done in the case of n outgoing edges, not only in the case of a line, but only in the case of a vertex with a degree of the degree n. So now we can define strongly singular vertex coupling. By strongly singular vertex coupling, we mean any admissible coupling except delta. Except delta, it means any coupling that the continuity is not asked. So, and the question, natural question is, what is their physical meaning? We have said that in the case of delta coupling, we may consider it as a limit of some regular potentials. But how to consider the other couplings, the strongest singular ones? And the answer is not so simple, and it can be answered in fact, there are two ways how to answer it. And one approach is straightforward. We consider branching tubes and squeeze them. And some result has been already found, but this approach is quite difficult, as maybe somebody of you know. I think that there are some works from the people that are here. But there is another approach that is not so difficult, and it is done by potentials on the graph alone. I am going to explain it in more detail now on the table. In 1998, Cheon and Shikegara shown that if we consider a line, this is a point zero, and we put delta interaction here, and two delta interactions in the distance d, and this interaction has parameter minus alpha over d squared, I think, and these two are minus alpha over d, minus alpha over d squared, minus alpha over d, minus alpha over d, and then let d go to zero, then the Hamiltonian of this system tends to the Hamiltonian, or his, they said, then the system goes to the system with a strongly singular coupling in the point zero, but it is already not delta, it is some other type, and they even show what type the idea is the following, that we put deltas at some points close to the point with the strange interaction, and let them shrink or go to that point, and scale its parameters, and we hope that we obtain some strongly singular coupling, and the second step can be then by using the theorem that I was speaking about just a moment ago, that we replace these delta interactions by regular potentials. And in fact, then we have approximated the strongest singular coupling by a regular potential, or by regular potentials. So it was in 1998. They found a three-parameter family. As I have said, in the line there is n equal 2. Then there is 2 squared. It means four-parameter family of couplings. And they found three-parameter family. In 1998, they found general. It means four-parameter family. And but it is. I should say that in the second case, for founding the general family of couplings, they needed also as some other added potential, not only the deltas. In the case of a degree of a vertex of a degree greater than 2, well, it started in 2004 when Chon and Exner found an approximation of one special type of coupling. In 2005, Professor Exner with me, we found found approximation of a permutation symmetric family, and that family has n parameters. And in 2006, two n parameter family was found, and also I will explain later, n times n minus 1 over 2 parameter family. And it is the result that I am going to speak about just now. So let's formulate the problem. Let me have a star graph with n halves, with n half lines, and in the center there is the following boundary condition, this one. And the problem is how to approximate this boundary conditions using delta potentials and delta interactions. So when it is possible to do it and how to do it? At first I will need two other terms to define. The first one is star-shaped graph. By star-shaped graph I mean, in other words, graph that looks like a star but is not a star graph. It is. This is a star graph, but when I put some vertex here and here and here and here and here and here and so on, it is not a star graph, but it is a star-shaped graph. So it is the first term. Any question? No, it's clear. Super. And one parameter family of graphs, gamma d, is said to be eventually star-shaped if there is a star graph gamma such that each gamma d can be obtained from gamma by the two following operation: splitting one edge into two edges joined in a vertex and adding edges. And moreover, each of these operations is applied only finitely many times, and length of all added edges tends to zero as d goes to zero. It is very complicated, but it is in fact very, very easy. And okay, I will show you a picture. So, you see, it is. First operation is splitting one edge into two edges and, for example, so adding edges. Why we have added edge here? I will draw a picture. It will be better. So we started with a star graph, and we split it one edge, and put vertex in the point of splitting. Then split it another, and the second operation was to add edge. So we, for example, added edge here, and we can split it again, and we can add edge here, and split this edge and edge at edge here, and so on. So this is mean by that two operations. It is really quite simple. Only seems to be difficult.
Can you give an example of something with external edges that is not eventually star shaped?
It is a family. It is not a star shape, but the family is a star shape. Eventually star shaped, and it means that it is somehow parameterized by d. And when d goes to zero, then the length of this, the length of edit edges tends to zero. I mean, when the d is very, very small, then the graph looks something like that. It is only money, a little bit. Yes. So it looked in fact like a star graph on the first sight. That's the idea. Okay.
When you change the parameter d, do you allow change of topology or is just?
Yes. It is a term defined just a week ago to make it maybe more clear, but Yes, yes. This was not defined yesterday, it was some already maybe 1 week, but... So, we have two ways how to approximate. The first way is to keep the star, the graph still star-shaped. Only to put two. like Chon and Chikera did it. Only to put deltas here, here, and in the center, and so on. And the second approach is even to change the shape of the graph. I mean, to add edges and to do something with the edit edges and so on. But we want at the end to make the change very small, such that we need that the behavior of the particle is very similar to the behavior of the particle on that original graph with that strange coupling in the center. So, as I have maybe already said, the approximation is done in the first case by family of star-shaped graphs, and in the second case by eventually star-shaped family of graphs. So let's begin with the first case. Here's a picture. So the first question is, what can be approximated in this way? Which kind of boundary of strongly singular vertex couplings? And the answer is the following. We can approximate the two types of vertex couplings. The first one is the case when the matrix U is diagonal. And since it is diagonal, of course, the entries at the diagonal has to be of the modulus 1, since it is unitary matrix. So, and you see that there are n free parameters here. Only n parameters. And the second case is more complicated. The matrix is very messy, and it has the following form. And the parameters cj and tj are real numbers, and there is also a parameter rho, but there is some g0, such that cg0 plus etg0 is equal to 1. But in fact, there are 2n free parameters. 2n is more than n, that is... the case of permutation symmetric coupling. And if n is equal to 2, then this matrix can be simplified and we get only 3 parameters. Only 3 parameters. It's an exception. And the proof of this statement makes use of asymptotic expansions of wave functions. So it is not a rigorous proof, in fact, it is only a... heuristic. And the second question is how to approximate. In other words, how the approximated graph look like. So we will not deal with the first case, with the case of diagonal matrix U, since it is trivial. And we will deal only with the second case, with the case of non-trivial matrix U. And the scheme is the following. I will again draw a picture. So we have a star graph with some strange coupling here, strongly singular coupling, and our approximating graph looked like this. There is a delta coupling in the center. This is the first point. Delta coupling in the center with parameter omega over d squared, d to the fourth. On each arm there is a vertex at a distance of d cubed, and in the vertex there is a delta interaction. Okay, so. And on each edge, there is a delta interaction in the distance d cubed. And the third point. On each arm, there is a second vertex at the distance of this d cubed plus d from the center. Okay, this here. In this, there is a delta interaction with parameter minus 1 over d plus bj. So the graph looks like this. And the parameter d tends to 0. So, and you see, there are parameters omega, alpha j, and bj in this case, but in the case of matrix U, there are another parameter, there are c, j, and tj. So, it is not a problem. There is a map between the two sets of parameters. It is only for the case of convenience, for a simplicity, not more, that they are called by another terms. Tak. So, and as I have already made a figure, it is the same on the screen. And only just a remark, the heuristic proof is based again on asymptotic expansions of wave functions. So, the proof is heuristic. The proof is heuristic. And the question is if there is some rigorous proof. The answer is yes. And the theorem is saying, if we consider this family of approximating graphs and let D go to zero, then the Hamiltonian of a particle on that graph goes to the Hamiltonian of a particle of a graph with that strange coupling in the norm resolvent sense. In other words, the following relation is valid. The proof is technical, quite complicated. It makes use of Krein's formula many times. That's why I am not going to present it. It's really complicated, but it can be done.
So, just a quick question. On your approximation operator, do you have some normal Kirchhoff conditions, yes? Or the standard condition? Or what conditions do you have on the approximation graph?
You mean that?
Yeah, the one which you, this H, U, V, W, D. What are the conditions there?
Ah.
They are Kirchhoff, yes?
It is. Okay, I haven't explained the notation. Okay. It's fine. Okay. So, one screen back. It is. In the center, there is a parameter UD, which stands for this omega over the before.
I'm sorry, I missed it. Sorry.
No, it's completely fine. I see that. And on the arms there are interactions with VD, V1D, V2D, and so on, and time 2V and D, and W it was at the end or here, and it is it's only a notion how to write the Hamiltonian with such delta interactions with such parameters U and V1, V2, and so on. Okay, so we can proceed to another case, and it is approximation using eventually star-shaped graph family. One can expect that when we add some edges, we can obtain a great or wider family of approximable vertex couplings. It's really true, but still we don't obtain a general family of vertex couplings. I have said that a general family has n squared parameters, and it is not possible to obtain it by this way. It is necessary to do something else, I don't know what. But it is not possible using deltas to obtain a general approximation of a general vertex coupling. And the theorem is saying, if we have a coupling with this boundary condition in the center, then it can be approximable by delta potentials and by delta interactions and delta couplings only if the matrices A and B can be chosen real. Only when they can be chosen real. This case corresponds, or it can be shown that this family of boundary conditions has n times n plus 1 over 2 parameters. And only a remark that from physical point of view, the vertex couplings with real A and B correspond to time reversible systems. So the question is that how the approximating graph look like, and I will show it in a moment. Just for simplicity, we will suppose that matrix B, standing here, is regular. That's why we can not multiply this equation b to the minus 1 and put this term to the right side, and we obtain this relation. From the self-adjointness of the Hamiltonian, or from the second condition, from the Kosterkin-Schrader conditions, we know that it follows that this matrix has to be self-adjoint. But it is also real, because matrices A and B were real. So that's why it is symmetric, real symmetric matrix. And we can write it in the form as diagonal matrix and real symmetric matrix with a vanishing diagonal. And this shows a way how to find approximating graphs. So the arrangement is the following. And I will again draw a picture. Delta coupling with the parameter UD in the center. So there is a delta coupling in the center. One vertex VJ supporting delta coupling with parameter VJT at each edge at distance D from the center. So at a distance D from the center, and at each edge there is a delta coupling. What's next? For all J and K satisfying that the corresponding element of the matrix S is non-zero, the vertices VJ and VK, we call, if it is J and it is K, kth arm, then we call this point VK and VJ. And what it is, are joined by an additional edge. In the middle of this edge, we place a delta interaction with the parameter W. So we join this with an edge. And in the center, we place a delta interaction. But it is for all J and K satisfying this condition. So if these two satisfy it, again, this has to be done. And if this and this, again. And you see, it is hard to draw it. It's in fact impossible to do it in R2. And that's why we need embedding into R3. And I'm just going to show you what how to do that. So here's the graph. It's a plane. We have a plane, R2, and there is the graph, this graph. And there are the points where the deltas are placed. And what can we do? We can go from the plane, and if these two points, if for this J and K, the corresponding element of S is non-zero, then we put, we join them, but the center of the joining line is outside the plane, this above the graph, in fact. And the same this. And if we can, we may also this too. So that's the way how to draw it. And the parameters VJ and WJK is, of course, related to the matrices, or to the matrix here. And it is done in this way, that the parameter VJ that is placed on that jth arm is related to DJJ, it is the jth entry of the matrix D, this diagonal matrix, and the parameters WJK, the order is not important, are related to the corresponding entry of the matrix S. I don't understand.
How long are the new edges? So you can do some new edges between new vertices. What is the adventure? How is it related to the embedding?
I still don't understand. But you mean the length of this? Yes. This is a very good question. It is. we want that they are almost the same of the same length. And how to do that? We can do that in the way that the distance is very, very, very small, and it can be done in the way that the distance. So, okay, there is. We can map the pairs J and K into the subset of one n squared. Okay? The pairs can be mapped into the subset of 1 to n squared. In which way this... yes, I will answer. But you agree, I hope. Since the number of numbers of these pairs is less than this one. Yes? Okay. And so we have this mapping, and then the distance, if we have J and K, then this distance will be, so the map, for example, phi or, okay, phi JK is, for example, m, then this distance will be m times d to the minus, for example, 4. Minus 4, it will work, I think. Or 4, plus, sorry, plus 4.
How is it related to the indigent? I do not understand.
Pardon?
How is it related to the indigent? Because the water must be embedded into R3, the new graph or the old one?
The approximating graph cannot be drawn in the R2 because there is a crossing. How to deal with the crossing? And I don't want to cross because when it crosses, there is. When you want to make it in the factory, for example, how to do it? You have.
Well, his question is: even in R3, uh-huh. Are the lengths that you're assigning to the edges consistent with embedding in R3? Does it satisfy the triangle inequality, for example?
I'm sorry, my English is so terrible that I don't understand the question.
even in R3, it may be impossible to embed a metric graph if the lengths are not consistent.
Yes. No, this one.
Why?
This one can be. This
why
one.
Do you want to embed it?
Because I cannot do it in R2. Because.
So that's half graph.
You don't need to embed it all.
Yeah.
But from the practical point of view, there is a real problem, but there is a crossing. You are right from the theoretical point of view, okay, but from the practical point of view, you cannot produce such graph. When you take a semiconductor and how to do that? Impossible. Yes? I completely agree that for the theoretical thoughts, it is really not necessary. But from the practical point of view, I think it is a real problem.
Even if you want to embed, they don't have to be straight edges. Then you have no problem. You can squeeze it all and make it a bundle of wires going like that, and you can embed anything. But since you don't care that it's embedded like that.
In R2, even making...
Yes, it is.
And but it is this approach, when I take it with the great power of D, is fine because then the length of all edit edges is almost the same, and it makes the consideration or the proof simpler. That's why there is the higher... Maybe, in fact, I have, maybe it is possible to see, maybe not, probably not. It is two. It is two in that case. I needed just sufficiently high power of D. So these four figures conclude my talk. Thank you for your attention.
Any questions?
Maybe it's not a question exactly to you, but since you brought up the question of how to build up says, I would like to point out on the blackboard, if I may, in German, a S matrix, which in physics is very commonly used and is very useful. I mean, physics in graphs. The matrix, the visual matrix which we are talking about in the star, which is suppose that you have the star, you enumerate the vertices until we call this the number of vertices we call valency, because we are chemists, not only physicists. Then you can write the matrix e to the I times 2 pi times two indexes, so I draw j times k divided by v, one over square root of v, and we call this the Fourier transform matrix. It is a legitimate S matrix. It is unitary. If you plug it into the equation for the graph spectrum determinant of I minus e to the I, so this is the standard thing which we always write, we get a rich spectrum. S is the entire graph matrix which is built of these little matrices. And I wonder if there is a way to write this kind of a S matrix from the constricting Schrader boundary conditions. And the other question which I have is, do you have a general way to write, you see, this matrix has a very nice property that it has the same scattering probability for all the sides. Independently if you are coming, you get the same scattering. It's very nice. Now I would like to ask you another question. Do you know how to build a scattering matrix which, for every k, for every wave number, will have only forward scattering? So if you come from here, you will never come back here. The going backward is forbidden.
It's impossible within self-adjoining.
It is possible. John will write you a 4x4 example.
Unitary. You cannot get it unitary.
You can.
If I remember correctly what Berkeleyko said, this FFT matrix is probably impossible to get from self-adjoint conditions.
But the operator has a real spectrum.
I can give you the argument very quickly.
Other questions?
Not possible.
All
channels is not possible.
Robert.
So I have two questions. The first one, so you mentioned that by delta type interactions, you can approximate two types of boundary conditions with the diagonal matrix U, and there was a second question. Which kind of boundary conditions are covered by this case? And just delta prime or not?
So you mean this?
No, later, one slide later. Yeah. What kind of boundary conditions are here? I mean, there are things like so delta prime or this...
Delta prime is covered by the, it is in fact permutation symmetric coupling, and it is covered by this one, it is already done, and it can be done in easier way, I think. I'm not completely sure, but it is for the case of permutation symmetric family, the approximating graphs look like there is only one delta interaction on each arm in the distance d, and that's all. It is simpler, and it has been already done.
Okay. And for the second question, what type of convergence do you get in the second case with this new graph?
I don't know. Yeah, I haven't done it because in the first case it was already sufficiently complicated, and in the second case I simply hasn't enough. I simply didn't want to do that because it was. I expected that it would be terribly complicated.
Yeah, but I mean, you stated that it approximates in some sense, but which was
yes,
not
the
sense.
The proof, in the heuristic proof, is based on expansions of a wave function. You take a wave function. How to explain it shortly? When you have a delta interaction, there is a delta, and you have a function, let's say psi, and you compute the the value of the function and derivative here, knowing the value of and derivative here, using the boundary conditions of the delta interaction, and if necessary also in the for the second delta, and then in fact you obtain the values of psi j if it is j-th arm. Psi j in the point zero plus, and psi j dash in zero plus, in terms of cj in the point. For example, if I consider the simpler case, the case when only two deltas are placed on each arm and there are no added edges, then you compute this term into terms of psi j 0 d plus d cubed plus and derivative. And then you consider the condition for delta interaction in the center, and then using that you found a relation among or between.
Actually, I don't mean this way. I mean the interaction by two edges.
Yes, yes, it is
in two different spaces. What kind of convergence do you get? That this I don't understand. If you have any rigorous result.
I don't know if that convergence is any name.
The response was that it's so far on the heuristic level, so probably...
Yeah, but if you get convergence, this means that you have tested something.
Okay, the eigenfunction of the new system tends to the eigenfunction as d tends to zero, the eigenfunction of the approximating graph tends to the eigenfunction in the of the approximated graph in the in the normal limit, let's say. It is not a heuristic proof, and we haven't proven any convergence like a normal resolvent. No, only there is only a heuristic argument, and I strongly believe that the heuristic proof can be found. The rigorous proof can be found, but it will be very, very complicated, and when written, it would be many, many pages. I expect at least 100.
Double space or single space?
Nice estimate from below for non-existent proof. Okay.
If for a star graph, uh-huh, at least some complex, that some phases in the S matrix can be removed by gauge transformations, right? Gauge, gauge transformations.
What is it?
Changing the phase of the wave function on each leg, each edge separately.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So doesn't that reduce the number of parameters of the family that you have to hunt for? By n, at least. Is that what you meant when you said certain case was trivial? The diagonal case was trivial?
Mm-hmm.
That's just phase.
Uh-huh.
But there are other complex cases that can't be removed. Is that right? So it doesn't reduce, even for a star graph, it doesn't reduce entirely to real S matrix. I think I had a misconception there.
I'm very sorry, but I don't understand.
We have enough stuff to discuss kind of after talk.
I will speak with you after.
Yeah, I think the thing...
I'm very sorry, I'm really very sorry.
And probably Robert or Fabian can answer my question.
Yes,
Because they wrote a whole paper on this.
We have... next talk starts at 9:30.